8:13, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gom, Nick Isher, thanks for being along with us here today. Well, coming up Monday, we celebrate the birth of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. With Martin Luther King Day. That I guess just like with other, when they do government holidays, they want to put them on a Monday. And sometimes it falls on his actual birthday. Not always. But anyway, it's nice that we are able to take the time to celebrate, especially with all the crazy things going on in our world and our country right now. It's always great to sit back and reflect and think about the teachings of Dr. King and what he stood for and things that went on. Well, you'll have an opportunity to do that here in the city of Galesburg coming up on Monday, the event, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service and Leadership, and joining us to talk more about it. First off, the pastor of Allen Chapel AME Church, Pastor James Haley. Pastor, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Good morning to you, Brother Tom, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for coming in. And somebody who's not unfamiliar to this studio, I know you spent a lot of time in here with Terry Cavanaugh, Semenya McCord. Semenya, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And also representing Carl Stanberg College, the vice president of the Carl Stanberg College Black Student Association, also not unfamiliar with this studio. She's been in with us before, is Malia Martin. Malia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Very good. Thanks so much for coming in this morning. Want to talk first off a little bit about Dr. King, and maybe start off, Pastor Haley, kind of what he meant to you, because obviously you were here in a time where he was coming up, and for me, I was born in 62, so I vaguely remember things, not so much. So for me, it's been more after his death learning about him. But so were you around? Did you see and experience things going on at that point?
Brother Tom, I'm so glad you asked us. So I love sharing my experience because I was born and I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
And my grandfather was a sanitation worker. And so that ties me in right there with the whole thing of the Poor Man's March. And because of that, even though I was only 12 at the time, I can remember those events. And I can remember when Dr. King was assassinated at the Lorraine Motel. I was there in the city. I can remember what happened afterwards. And I can remember the turmoil and the frustration that we as African-American blacks had at that time because he was coming to do something good. And yet he was told not to even come. But because of his faith, his determination, his devotion to God, he came on anyway, because we remember the sermon and on that night before he was assassinated, my grandparents was not in the fellowship of the Mason Temple Church of God in Christ, but he was a sanitation worker, and the conditions that Dr. King came for was definitely real. When you think that people have to work upon certain conditions, then, it's good when people who can step up and lead in such a way, and he led in such a way of nonviolence to protest and to say, hey, you ought not look down on them because of the things that had happened was one of the workers, a couple of the workers were killed. And why does it take death for us to realize certain things?
Right. Well, absolutely. And you mentioned Dr. King's faith and relying on that. And, none of us know what's going to happen. And he was relying on the fact, and he knew, it's like, okay, either God's going to protect me, we're going to get some more work done here, or God has decided, you've done enough, and I'm going to bring you home. So, and he was ready either way.
Yeah, he was ready because that's why he, in his sermon and his message was, there are some difficult days ahead, but I may not get there with you. But I still know I've seen the lightning. I've seen God. I've seen the mountain. I've been to the mountaintop. I love that because he didn't bag away from it. And some people will bag away, my brothers and sisters, in fear. But he came forward in faith.
Absolutely. That is Pastor James Haley of the Allen Chapel AME Church also joining us. Semenya McCord, Semenya, talk about kind of your recollections of Dr. King's kind of crusade and what he means or meant to you personally.
Well, Tom, I think I was just getting out of high school, going to Knox when he was killed. He'd always been, you know, a leader, and even here, though most of the time he was across the South, I think he had a situation in Chicago that made Illinois kind of sit up and wonder really what's going on. I think the conversation too had gone to the point where initially King seemed to be a leader of African American community, and all of that seemed well and good. It was peaceful protest, and people highly respected and regarded that. And but then when he began to really broaden his concern and his protest to any and everyone who was downtrodden, who were struggling with poverty, the disenfranchised communities. And I think, you know, conversation within Knox when I was there at that point and so forth, you know, now he's a little dangerous. You know, he's spread out beyond the black community. And even though it's still nonviolent, he's stirring up folks, you know, who, you know, would just as soon stay quiet and stay where they are. And so that, you know, that was already a concern. And, he did recognize it. I was, after leaving here, I know I was in the Boston area for about 30 years, and people at that point were, of course, celebrating his life and honoring his life and his legacy every year in a variety of ways, even before it became a national holiday. And there were a group of performing artists, musicians, dancers, poets that used to, we'd gather and we decided we're going to do a performing celebration. And it was just kind of, so we're kind of rogue in some ways. I said, we're going to do it on his birthday, whatever day of the week that falls. It will always be on January 15th. And so that was kind of a thing. But we ran that for like 22 years. So it ended up going into the national holiday. So I had, you know, the kind of the directorship of that program with a core of people, and it was different every year. But it caused me, of course, to do some more research about King, because I hadn't known a lot about his background. I hadn't been aware of all his speeches. But I think one of the crowning things was the effectiveness of the way he would talk and what he would have to say. I mean, it appealed to everyone. Everybody got it. And, you know, we are missing that kind of dynamic in some ways, because, you know, with what you see now on occasion, people don't, you know, we're scared. We don't trust all of those things these days. And, you know, but Dr. King it's amazing to see all the things we've looked at even online. I've got like the whole coming week, there's practically something every day, every evening, that is a visual or virtual celebration of his life and his legacy on Facebook and on Zoom. I mean, we need it all the time, but I guess particularly now, we need to be reminded
absolutely
what you can do with, as Pastor says, with your faith ahead of you. And
well, you touched on something, Semenya, as well, is our skepticism today that everybody knew Dr. King was genuine. We find it hard to accept somebody who is or not. We don't know anymore. It's just hard to accept whether they are or not. And you like to hope and think the best in people, but it's, I don't know what's happened to us. And maybe that's where the faith comes back. That's like, hey, we just need to put everything aside. It's like, let's trust this person is who they say they are.
Yeah. That's it.
Also joining us this morning, the Vice President of the Carl Sandburg College Black Student Association is Malia Martin. And Malia, obviously you've learned about Dr. King, and you weren't around obviously when he was still living. So through whether it's parents or schooling, talk about what you've learned and what Dr. King means in your life and kind of the legacy that he left.
I think more nowadays with everything that happened in the past year, we've definitely learned a lot more about Martin and how he impacted the black community, especially because with the protests and the march and everything, him showing us that we could use our voice and share how we feel about literally anything that could be going wrong in this world, he has taught us that we cannot stand down and just watch this happen. We have to actually use our voices, say something. And, yeah, Martin's put a lot of faith in everyone these past couple of years because it's been hard.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, coming up Monday, it's the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service and Leadership. Let's talk a little bit about the event itself. And Pastor Haley, you know, something that Semenya mentioned also, what are the great things about Dr. King? And everybody understands what his cause was when he started and for the African-American community. But yeah, as it ended, as she mentioned, he was about everybody. He wanted us all to come together and be together. And that's kind of what a day and the Day of Service and Leadership is about. It's about everybody coming together.
Amen. You are so right about that. And sometimes what's lost in the thought pattern of Dr. King, that he was a man of God, that he was a gospel preacher, and that he followed the teaching of Jesus. And in following the teachings of Christ Jesus, he walked as humbly as he could, because we know we are to humble ourselves. And then it says to live peaceable with all men, and yet to love all mankind. And sometimes we know it is difficult to love, even though Jesus said, love ye one another as I also love you. So he took that personally, and then he began to walk in it and live in it. And then I have heard so often the phrase, I'd rather see a sermon live than preach. But Jesus did both. And that's why I want to remind people when they talk about they want to see one, but also do you share the message of what you're trying to do? Because just to show it and not share it in the way of letting people know that you're grounded and rooted in your faith. And he didn't mind doing that. And even though he dealt with his with black America, he was dealing with white America. And I know people going, you know, saying they ain't up with, but yet there are people who are black that lives in America, people who are white that live in America. They're different ethnicities, you know. There are differences, and sometimes what happens is we don't want to recognize that we are different, but we can still walk together in love and serve one another. He decided that, hey, I'm going to serve all of mankind, no matter how poor they may be. Some people don't want to deal with poor people. Some people won't say they, you know, they, but Jesus dealt with every one of us, and he met us right where we are. He didn't try to make us to come up to where we are, you know. And sometimes people want, well, then they could do better than that, you know. Why don't they do better than that? You know, I did it. But you don't know the circumstance behind their life. And so I love knowing that I had a chance to be around at that time. And when Dr. King talked about his germ major instinct, you know, everybody wants to be first. Nobody wants to be. But if you want to be first, he always said, be first in serving. Be first in serving. And that means whoever they are, and no matter how they look and how they smell and whatever else you may want to deem that you're better than they are. And what's wrong with America, sometimes we deem that we're so much better than everybody else, and instead of helping them up, we push them down. And Dr. King said, hey, you know, I know for a fact that no matter what, I'd rather be reaching my hand out to pull somebody else up than to be wanting to step on them. But society has said, you can step on people and keep on going if it benefits you.
Well, I guess that's where we miss out on humbling ourselves, too.
Yeah. Humble. When you humble yourself, that means you can walk with people who may not agree with you and may not understand you, but you're still to love them, and then you're to spread that love, not always trying to spread your thought pattern, because if you're thinking outside of what God is thinking, to say, hey, this and that is the way that I believe, find out if it's a, to me and to Dr. King, because how could he go to the Birmingham jail? How could they, you know, Congressman John Lewis, continue to go forward after you know the brutality that was placed upon, I'm going to say it like this, Black America, because that's what you saw. And that was in black and white. But now we have things in living color, and we still want to go the same way.
Yeah, we still want it to be black and white, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, coming up on Monday, it is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service and Leadership, an actual event going on. It'll be at the church, Allen Chapel AME Church. Kind of talk some menu, if you would, about the event, and obviously there's going to be some food available and everything, but kind of just talk about what's going to be going on Monday afternoon.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Actually, we'll be in front of the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense with everything. Yeah.
Please make that known.
Yes.
Not inside
right.
the church.
I still forget sometimes. Things are not normal.
Yeah, no, they're not normal like that. But this is actually a project that Pastor Haley came up with as we've been meeting on our Zoom conference calls and all of that, trying to think what can we do to somehow put some kind of service or some type of positive concern out to the community. And, you know, people have been involved with the blessing boxes and they've been involved with the different kinds of things around town. But Pastor's quite a cook. At least he keeps telling us that. So
his chance to prove it's coming up, right?
He's going to whip up some serious chili. And so that's why we're saying, we're calling it chili and with a question mark, like, are you cold or
right? Right.
And so the answer is chili with exclamation marks. And so it's a free bowl of chili with crackers and bottled water. It's a drive by the church. We have through Anthony Law's work at Carl Sandburg and a couple of young people who will be coming to help bring the chili out to your car. Though it's also open for walk up folk who might live in the neighborhood and just want to walk over. And we'll be set up for that. So at noon, and then it'll go as far as it can go. But hopefully, from what I hear, Pastor Haley's chili is worth coming over for.
So let's hear it from the man, Pastor Haley.
My.
Is there a secret ingredient that you can mention?
Tom, just pray for me.
Okay.
pray for the food.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pray I'll change
this thing. I got a feeling. It'll be really good. It'll be good. So we're excited with at least this. And there are a number of things that are happening around, of course. Usually there's that breakfast.
And we're actually going to be talking about that tomorrow morning too.
Well,
so, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, everything like that is virtual, but we have a little bit of outreach. So hope folks will come on by and get a good bowl of chili.
Yeah, and Malia, obviously, with your group at Carl Sandburg College, with the Black Student Association, also the Men of Distinction, Women of Character, obviously something you guys wanted to be involved in however you could.
Yes, definitely. It's actually a really big honor to be able to go out and help the community in any way we can, especially with COVID. We haven't gotten many chances, but whenever we do, we go out and do it.
Yeah, and that's been the tough thing, and that's why, again, I said at the church, outside the church, and honestly, directly behind us here, 153 East Tompkins. We're at 154 East Simmons, so directly behind us at the church on Tompkins Street, Allen Chapel AME Church, and the event again Monday gets underway at noon. And what could soon be Pastor James Haley's world famous chili. We'll see.
It's gonna be famous for something. Hopefully, it'll be famous for mouth licking good.
There you go. Well, real quick, Pastor Hay, I want to talk a little bit about there's a lot of history with the Allen Chapel AME Church. Can you talk a little bit about the history of the church here in Galesburg?
Well, I'm going to say just a little tidbit. because I'm going to turn that over to Sister McCord.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been in the city of Galesburg 2 years and about 4 months, and I'm learning a lot about Allen Chapel in the Underground Railroad and those who started it in 1853. There are so many of the African-American black churches that stood up at that time when it was real dark in America for not whites but for blacks. And so we must understand that churches got together, that the small ones that would be and was a part of the Underground Railroad. And we have to thank God for the people who took the time to make that sacrifice in the midst of violence. You know, and it'd been nice if it was no violence, but it seemed like violence is always trying to stamp out the good. And I'm going to have her to do. There have been many of pastors that have come along over the years, and some of them have been there a very short time in the Methodist way that we do a part of the itinerancy ministry of moving around. And I never forget the first time I came to Galesburg was for a meeting back in 1985. And I never would have thought that then, a young whippersnapper, that I would come back later to even share. And so in learning about Allen Chapel and then also learning about Galesburg, I just want everybody to know that people are the same everywhere you go. There is those who will get on board and really try to help one another. Then there'll be those who will fight as hard as they can to keep this from happening. And it seems like that when black America, the community, stands up, you find out how much resistance that you have. As one of the cities I was in, when they went to name the school, the street Martin Luther King, some of their best friends was opposed of it. And that's when you find out, I've been walking with you, thinking that you really was loving me, and this is the way you felt. Then the real person comes out.
Right.
The hidden agendas that are there then is made known. And so, you know, Sister McCord is going to walk with you to tell you about Allen Chapel.
Well, and Semenya, I know most people, especially that we grew up here, we've been around here, we know the Galesburg connection with the Underground Railroad and Knox College especially, but not necessarily that about with Allen Chapel AME. Talk a little bit about that history.
Well, I you mentioned it, but I was going to say, I think we talk about being in the right place at the right time because of the way that Galesburg was established with the people who also established the college. 1837, it's on the building over there.
Yeah, a little while ago.
That?
Yeah.
But, a staunch abolitionist and building the town, you know, with that kind of atmosphere, with that kind of philosophy well in place, and acknowledging, too, that the location of Galesburg on the various and sundry Underground Railroad routes made it what has been established as a hub for this whole area. I mean, more so than even a city like Chicago. We were in a great place, 40 miles from the river, and people began coming through, and some even staying. There was things that I read in my research, several different books and things mentioned. Once you cross the Galesburg city line, you were good as free. And that's quite, I think, an attitude to have and to pass along to people. So, but mostly people did pass through. Now, at a point, our church was established there, I guess, primarily by a woman named Susan Richardson, who had herself been a runaway slave, Southern Illinois. Been there since she was 5. By the time she's 30, she has 3 sons, another young woman with her situation where she is working. It's not a large plantation. It's a farm. The Colonel Borders, I think they said there's 7 or 8 slaves there in general. However, they were all women, but they had some kind of field work they were doing and housework they were doing. And so she decided, you know, at that point it was time to go. She wanted to keep her boys. Porter's wife wanted to sell them off in various directions, as was a typical thing at a point in time. So she found her way. She heard that there was somebody who could help, and made her way to with her boys to a farm about 8 miles away, apparently. And the farmer there was part of the Underground Railroad as it existed at that point. So we're talking 1842, 1843. And they made their way. He helped, and they made their way up partially, I think, on the Illinois River, partially on the Mississippi River, back and forth a little bit, till they got to Knoxville. The great folks were helping them, hiding them, feeding them. And then, but there, you know, they were somehow found out and put in jail there in Knoxville. And, of course, the word went out, and Borders knew where to come. He came up with one of his older sons. But the Galesburg people had also heard about it, and they were there and said, you know, you can't take this woman, and he's, you know, you have no proof, because he didn't come with papers or anything. So he said he'd get his papers and he'd be back. So the story goes, you know, that the sheriff in Knoxville, of course, didn't want to keep them in the jail because he'd have to keep taking care of them and feeding them and everything. So they set up a situation where she could work in the area doing domestic work. The little boys, I think one was probably 6 or 4, because various ages when you read some of the research, they don't all quite match up, but they were small. And then the oldest boy was probably 16. So he was given out to work on some farm. And the girl who was 19 that came with them, she came on over to Galesburg and actually worked for the Jeremiah West family. And that was a very prominent family in Galesburg that later Susan would become good friends with as well when she got over here. Borders came back up, got the boys, and while she was at work, he didn't know what house she was working in that day, but somehow he rounded up the boys. And she got the message with the expectation that once she knew the boys were caught, they were back at the jail, that she would show up. And the people she was working for, the minister, I believe, in Knoxville, you know, they convinced her, no, don't go. You know, we will take measures to find out where they are and keep track of them for you. But, you know, we'd disguise you. They dressed her up with a hat and a veil and this and that. And somebody came with a sleigh, because now we're in wintertime, and brought her over to Galesburg. So as it turned out, she really only heard a little more about her oldest son, never lost track of the youngest ones. I mean, and as it turned to, you know, her story was not terribly unusual for those times. It's certainly is sad and hurtful, but she exhibited at that point a certain amount of faith. And so she's kind of settled into Galesburg and married a farmer, Tom Richardson. They had prayer meetings in their home, though they also apparently attended First Church, which was the Central Congregational Church, now was called the First Church back in the day. And but they heard about a church denomination for, as they would say then, the colored folks up in the city. And apparently the story goes that she sold a hog and got some money to take a train to Chicago, found out about the African Methodist Episcopal denomination, and brought that information back to Galesburg. And with her husband and several other people, then by 1853, which is about 10 years after she had arrived here, then they established Allen Chapel. And that has been the, you know, it was not the only black church around, but it was the first one established in the city. And I think, you know, at that point in time, from what we see in our records, there's a lot of information about people who, you know, were coming through. Of course, they worked with the Underground Railroad. The Amy Church has always been big on educating people, because, you know, people living their lives in slavery were not allowed to learn to read or write. And so there are things with, you know, the church would hold classes in the evening during the week for people, as well as really promote getting, you know, I think the first colored schools in the city of Galesburg as it was growing. Because with the train, thing, that began to kind of change some of the attitudes of Galesburg as it went along, you know, because other people were coming, great farmland in the area, other people were settling. Everybody didn't maintain the degree of tolerance, shall we say, that the founders of Galesburg had once established. And so things begin to shift around. But with Allen Chapel, we've often said it's been a light in the community now, 167 years. We're very grateful for that kind of history. And I'm, you know, it's one of those things. Pastor and I were talking yesterday about we want to make sure that, you know, youth know it. And I didn't know it. I grew up in Allen Chapel. My mother was a Sunday school superintendent for a number of years. And we certainly learned about Jesus. We learned our story, Bible stories. We learned our scripture. We sang the songs. But that particular history, you know, was not something that was shared even then. And actually, Anthony Law's mom, Naomi Law, is the one who told me about Susan Richardson. And I've been privileged to portray her in several things around the city with the Historical Society and the Railroad Days, you know, when they have the people stand around historic figures. I've been able to portray Aunt Sookie, as she was called, and that's been a lot to me, and so I appreciate this time to be able to talk about it.
It's a great story. I'd never heard it either. I mean, that's the thing. Like you said, we know church. You learn about faith and Jesus and God, but you don't necessarily learn the history of it. And that's it. Like you said, it's a very sad story and really hard, but it's a great story though. And yeah, we obviously want to preserve that history. That's for sure.
Thank you. Tom. As she was sharing, and what came to me was to just let you know that there are some still remnants of a family that they wasn't there themselves, but their families was there at the beginning in 1853. Sister McCord said 167. Well, we now is 168 because we in 2021.
All right. Yeah. Yep.
And we look forward to even celebrating, but it's been a difficult travel, but a blessed travel. Because God has been with believers all the way, and we'll just say the AME Church as a whole, because when we started over 200 years ago, that it wasn't easy. And even though today there are those who never want to think about it, never want, but you can learn from it. But then you hate to see some of the pattern be there today. You hate to see that people right. are still got a lot of hidden hatred. We wear masks now because we have to, but there was real masks back then that they put on, and they did things that reflected their views of black people. And so we still have that today, but yet we have to press forward. But Allen Chapel and the membership down through the years never gave in, never gave up. At one time, we had way more property than we have today. But again, it's been a battle, but still God has been there for the people. And God has been there also for Galesburg. Mm. And if we only could learn to do what Dr. King said, you know, love a person, you know. When he walked, it was for all black, red, yellow, brown, and white. The song says they are all precious in God's sight. But what happens is, and I'm going to quit, is that we forget they ought to be precious in our eyesight too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as we celebrate the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Day of Service and Leadership, again, Monday, Allen Chapel AME Church, right behind us here on Tompkins Street, 153 East Tompkins. You can walk up, drive up, and what's soon going to be famous, world-famous chili from Pastor James Haley.
Pray. Please pray.
And again, I guess just the message is just remember Dr. King's legacy and try to live it, I guess, is kind of the message. Malia, thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you guys for what your group at Carl Sandburg College does. Really appreciate it. Semenya, thank you so much for coming in with us today and also preserving that history, too.
Oh, way.
And Pastor Haley, to you as well. And Best of luck with the chili. Looking forward to
and
it.
And I want to thank Sanbury College, the diversity committee, and for assisting and helping because, you know, with the way it is, we sure want our young folks to help us out in the college.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Pastor Haley, thank you so much. Appreciate it.